flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into Sports Talk, our Tuesday, February 4th edition here at the Convention Center, getting ready for Super Bowl 59 to kick off on Sunday. Steve Geller, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Mike Dettillier, just went through Super Bowl opening night last evening. Cajun Cannon was in attendance, got to talk to his old buddy Vic Fangio. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, posted that interaction, and it was pretty funny to see Vic's reaction of, if we only had a quarterback.
No. I was joking with him and said, he says, well, you need a quarterback to win games.
Right.
And then it was like, to not only to win games, but to win in the postseason and to win the Super Bowl. I said, yeah, and so I told Vic, if only the Saints had a quarterback, maybe they could have won in the postseason.
then he flipped it to you.
Yeah. And then he was kind of laughing because he knows not too many people could say that they have a winning record in the NFL. Look all the quarterbacks that have played. You know, they might be hovering around 500 or below 500. And I'll tell you this before, Steve Mike, I think, knows this. My claim to fame, and Lamar Jackson didn't break my record because they lost to the Giants. He had won 13 straight games against the NFC.
Yep.
You know how many straight games I won against the AFC?
14.
20.
20.
20.
20, and we lost to the damn Buffalo Bills in the Superdome. Remember, that's when the Bills were going to the Super Bowl and losing. Remember, but they went four straight
times. It wasn't 1-2 with the ball. Bob getting drilled.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting drilled in that game. They would hit the quarterback then. But, no, I knew I had to hang in the pocket and just make plays that way. But the thing is, it's hard to win in the NFL. That's why when you look at the likes of, like I told you, I played Joe Montana 11 times, I won twice. I'm 2-9. And then you look at Joe Montana, then he was the measuring stick, and then along came Tom Brady. And, Tom Brady could almost be old news. Not that he'll never be old news, but look at Pat Mahomes right now.
Unbelievable run,
right? Mahomes, at his age and what he's doing, that's freaking unbelievable. Now, you know who can get more respect? Way more, even if Pat Mahomes loses this game, he's still in the upper echelon in NFL history.
Right.
Is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, why he's going to get way more respect. Considering what I've done for me lately and getting to the Super Bowl, if Jalen Hurts wins this Super Bowl, I'm telling you, you're going to look at him in a different light. And he'll get a lot more respect from that, not from the quarterbacks. I'm just talking about from a fan base, and especially from the Eagles. Because you look at the Eagles, how they put Nick Foles on a pedestal. They got a damn statue of Nick Foles outside of Philly. Don't they, the stadium, Mike?
Him and Doug.
Yeah.
Him and Doug Peterson.
So that's they love their football. They love Penn State. They love Philadelphia Eagles. It's like Ohio. That's why Ohio State, you don't think those fans probably cheer for the Cleveland Browns? You know, they go, thank God for Ohio State. Now, Cincinnati, that's like Southern Ohio, more by Kentucky.
You're like in another state.
Yeah, I would say Ohio State fans are more like Browns fans. So, they know football. We love football in the Deep South, but they love it in Ohio. And, the one team to me that has passed the torch and continued to win Now, Cleveland Browns might say, well, that's our team. It's the damn Baltimore Ravens. Because when Art Modell took them and left Cleveland, they went to Baltimore. So you look how much they love football. Bob, what are you talking about? Baltimore, Maryland? Well, they're college in the Maryland Terrapins. They never won anything. But you look at the alumni, Under Armour. You look at Nike and all
Nike.
That. And they, as far as sports. But if you remember, before the Baltimore Ravens, who they had? The Baltimore coach. You ever heard of Johnny Unitas? That is before Joe Montana. So that's why when you look at certain cities, certain regions, how they embrace their quarterback or their team, Philadelphia's in that number. Because you look at the success of the Steelers in Western Pennsylvania.
Right.
Then you look at the Eagles. You know who Penn State loves. And they thank God he's back in Pennsylvania, Saquon Barkley, that he left the Giants. He's the pride of Penn State right now. It didn't get any better than Saquon Barkley.
Think about Vic, going back to him.
He's a Pennsylvania guy.
He's a Pennsylvania guy. He wins a championship. Now, you guys beat him in year
in 83.
But then they went to Baltimore, didn't they?
Yeah, they were Philadelphia Stars. Then they became the Baltimore Stars, Coach Mara. And then when Philadelphia, we beat them in 1983. And then we had merged in 85 with the Oakland Invaders. So I went from Michigan to California. Then they beat us in the championship in 85. So Vic and I go way back. Then all of a sudden, you're like, you're traveling all-stars. So I'm now on the same team as Sam Mills and now on the same team with Jim Mora and Vic Fangio when you're just a few years before, you're playing against them. So you just got to survive. You just got to compete.
Right.
It's like when you compete, always say this against your brothers or your family.
But Vic would be one of the few people breathing. He's got a championship in the USFL as a coach, and he could get a championship in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know, as of late, you look at the modern league with like the USFL, you look at the XFL, which became now the UFL. Our very own Bill Johnson wins the Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. Now he's won a couple of championships, the Birmingham Stallions, and Lou Holtz's son, the great Lou Holtz, Skip Holtz.
Skip, who got run off from Louisiana Tech, which I still don't get. Things ain't been the same since.
Boy, it's been a line for him, Mike, when you think about what he's been able to accomplish. But, when you look at, like, what Saquon Barkley has been able to establish, though, you want to talk about dictate the ebb and flow of a game. It doesn't get any better than Saquon Barkley. Okay, you know, I always, like, talk about NFL history. Now, think about this, because, you know, this is the kind of stuff I love. Few might say, "Oh, you're a nerd, but yeah, I am a stat. I am a history nerd.
You got
nerd.
All kind of time to read.
I mean,
today.
This is like to me, Saquon Barkley. Okay, we wanted him to break Eric Dickerson's record, right?
Some did.
So I think they did the right thing by saving him. Look what he's done in the postseason. So I think as long
they both played the same amount of games, didn't they?
Right. Now, Saquon Barkley set an NFL record with 7 touchdown runs. Now, think about, you don't talk about chunk plays, splash plays. You know, we talk about always in the passing game. Saquon Barkley set an NFL record with 7 touchdown runs of at least 60 yards in the regular season and playoffs.
Goodness.
We would hope our running back has 1 or 2. You know, he'd have one. Oh, you remember that one long run? Saquon Barkley had 7 in the regular season and playoffs. And you know what? This is what I hope happens. Now, this is what I do hope happens. I was doing this Super Bowl with Terrell Davis in Denver when they played Atlanta and Miami. Yeah. Saquon just needs 30 yards rushing to break Terrell Davis's record of 2,476 yards set back in the 1998 season for the most ever in a season, the playoffs included. So, Mike, after the 1998 season, we all know John Elway cannot win a Super Bowl.
But he won it Davis.
Well, why did he win a Super Bowl? Because they had a running game with Terrell Davis. Well, all I know is Saquon, I think he's, even if the Chiefs would stop him, I think he's going to get more than 30 yards rushing, don't you think, game?
He might get that the first time.
Or maybe the first run. Might be the first run, like he had that big run the first play last week.
But you think about Terrell and post-Broncos once – he started to have the injuries, but Elway knew when to get out.
Oh, yeah.
Because he knew Terrell was getting beat up. as a running back. I remember he pulled himself out of one of the Super Bowls. He had migraine headaches so bad, and they finally got him enough medication that he could come back. Man, I know one thing. The Packers, they didn't like that medication that he was able to come back and play against them.
Well, Bob, you mean like the Falcons in that game?
Falcons.
Yeah. For that Super Bowl, because when I looked at that, and it was like, you know, history repeats itself. And you might think, oh, we're going to throw the ball around. Look how teams are going back to the running game now and running right at the point of attack. Mike, you talk about the players that get drafted. Oh, we got to worry about linebackers and pass coverage. Well, you better have some run stuffers. That's why the Saints ain't doing anything until we get some guys in the interior.
You better get one in this draft class, because they got quite a few of them. Now, you might not get Mason Graham,
right, who's
the best of the bunch. But, Bob, with 24 of my top 75 players, defensive linemen, man, you can get you a pass rusher and a run stuffer.
Well, the linebackers will welcome that, and then Brian Brzee will welcome that because, you know, he might say, well, he can't rush the passer. Take him out on third down. Okay, let's say if a team thinks they can run against you. Okay, right. It's 3rd-and-8. Take him out the game. But what if he holds the opponent in first, second down? Oh, they got a yard. They got a yard. Now, you need run stuffers this day and age. Just look at what the Eagles and the best defensive tackles, the new Aaron Donald, Chris Jones. But look, that's one reason why everyone looks at the
Jalen Carter.
The Eagles like Jalen Carter. But Mike, I don't think he's considered the best right now.
Jalen Carter? Yes.
No, the guy, Chris Jones is better than him.
No, not against the run.
No, I'm talking about all-around defensive end. Defensive lineman. I'm talking about when you combine the run and the pass. Nobody's better than Chris Jones. Come on. No, pass rush.
It's close.
Look at the sack numbers. Come on, Mike.
It's close.
No.
Today's world?
Okay. Look, Chris Jones got more skins on the wall than the Georgia boys.
We'll continue this argument into the break.
It's a discussion. You don't understand the difference.
At the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row at the Memorial Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. We're celebrating the big game week in New Orleans. Be right back with more after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, broadcasting live from the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row in the Memorial Convention Center. We are celebrating Big Game Week right here in New Orleans, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. We're now visiting with Sam Bruckhaus, former Tulane linebacker and summer sports data scientist, last draft analyst. Thanks so much for the time. How you been doing,
Man,
Sam?
Thank y'all. I got to say, I'm an old boy from Lake Charles, Louisiana. I went to school at Tulane, played linebacker. So this is really a dream. I remember listening to the broadcasts and you know, listening to all the great Saints players back in the day and listening to the show while I was driving around going to work back in the day. And so it's great to be on a hometown station, be on a station that I always looked up to for a long time.
Look at it this way. You're the only one without an accent.
Hey, go tell my producer that, man. They've been making fun of me all week.
What? Oh, you ain't got no accent. Not compared to us.
Hanging out with these two people.
Yeah, I don't have the bayou accent.
The bayou, like, for instance, like we sponsored here by Blue Plate mayonnaise.
Right.
You know what a Cajun says? Mayonnaise.
I don't say that quite.
We say like, oh, yeah, but I like on my poor boy, I like some mayonnaise. I want to put some mayonnaise. I even had one of this guy I went to high school with.
Right.
I mean, he was so white. I don't think he never went to the sun. His nickname was Mines. I don't even know his real name.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I remember Mines.
He's from Golden Meadow. I never forget. Went to high school. I didn't even know his real name. And everybody, oh, yeah, you know Mines.
Hey, look, man, now they got me up in New York. The sun ain't come out in 3 weeks. They might as well call me Mines at this point.
So I feel bad we got the snow over here. So.
Oh, yeah, I missed out on that.
So I'm all intrigued. How, like, boy, is that just was a hobby that turned into, like, you all of a sudden became like an all-pro, a draft analyst? You know how it just, because you got to put the work in.
Right.
But how did that come about?
Well, so we have excellent AI that we share with teams, and it does a lot of the work for the scouts. The whole idea, and I know y'all talked to Thomas Dimitroff, who was the enemy. Now he's my close friend and mentor.
Now y'all teammates.
Yeah, now we teammates. But we trained artificial intelligence to watch every single play in the NFL and in the NCAA. And it, you know, notices events. It notices when somebody's sacked or what route someone's running. And so it takes a lot of the kind of tedious work, and it lets scouts and analysts like myself really be you know, what we love doing, evaluating players like Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart and some of these excellent guys we have in this draft. And it really helps us out in getting us, you know, what is the quarterback's decision-making? How accurate is he? How fast can these wide receivers run? How open are they getting? Defensive end, great edge class this year. How quick are they getting off the ball? And so it's really helpful. So to dig into that data, it's got me about 75% there, and then the rest is watching film.
There is always that little bit of, can I judge his heart?
Oh, certainly.
Because
now, you can't tell me AI can judge your heart.
No,
we're not that advanced, right?
And you being a former player, you understand that. Uh-huh. I think because I did the draft, it's almost 40 years now for me, that there are probably five or six guys in every draft class. I could drop them on any of the 32 teams. Production's the same. Everybody else is fit. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the key when you're drafting. Can you measure his heart in critical situations? Right. And how does he fit with somebody's doing offensively, defensively?
Exactly.
Or like what you did, you were on special teams a lot.
Right. Yeah, and that's very key. You know, we have a full team of scouts with Thomas. We have several former general managers. And we don't believe in all this, boil it down to one number crap. What we think about is how do we tell the story of the player? And what I've learned from some of these great scouts is you try to look for what they can do well, because a good coach will either develop that out of him or scheme around his weaknesses. And so that's what we're looking for. Shedeur Sanders, intensely accurate. The man can complete passes over expected, over the average quarterback. That's what he's best at. Now, does he struggle with sacks? Yes.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. My AI is like he holds the damn ball too long. and I'm buddy to Deion. I'm one of the few NFL players that have thrown Deion Sanders an interception and a touchdown in a real NFL game.
Right.
So that's one thing I would say. It's like, the offensive line sucks. He gets sacked too much. No, he can make the offensive line better by getting rid of the football.
So that's a great point. And that's what the difference between just looking at the, you know, sack rate or how many times he gets sacked is from our AI, because it actually picks up exactly what you said. And I know y'all know this. Like, the quarterback pre-snap makes a lot of decisions.
Pre-snap read.
Exactly. And so a guy like Matt Stafford, he's no athlete. I mean, he's not running around the yard anytime soon, but he makes those pre-snap reads, so he's elite in sack avoidance and has a bunch of good sack avoidance plays that we see in our AI, but it's because of that mental, which then we go to our scouts.
Well, that was Drew Brees.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Look at Drew Brees, how awesome he was.
Exactly.
I mean, he made the offensive line look better. He made the running backs and receivers look better. In other words, like yards after the catch, how accurate you are with the football.
Right.
Okay, he might be tight coverage, but what if you hit his lead hand away from the defender, then he catch the ball and run after the catch, versus I'm diving just to catch the ball, where all of a sudden it might have been a 15, 16-yard gain. If you don't throw an accurate ball, it's probably a 7-yard gain.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure y'all break all that down.
Yeah,
right?
And so an interesting story that I know y'all watched, we started noticing that Bryce Young was playing well in our artificial intelligence metrics, even though it wasn't even showing up in the box score yet. Around midseason, when he started coming back, he had a pretty good game against the Chiefs. It looked great on our AI, but the box score did not think so. Yeah. And even some of the more advanced statistics based off of that, I believe ESPN had him at like a 40 or 42 QBR. Like, that's average pretty much. We thought that his Chiefs game was one of the best games of the year. And so we started thinking exactly what you said.
Let me break this down, yeah?
Yeah, what is going on? Let's figure out what's happening. It turned out their interior offensive line was playing very well. They were able to run behind them. It opened up some of the passing, and the wide receivers weren't really performing up to snuff. The last three games, they locked it in. The wide receivers started playing good. And so that was one of the big victories. One of the things that built my confidence in this AI was because it was like, hey, Bryce is going to do a little something down the line at the end of the season. And
he's handling it, how you handle adversity, weather the storm,
exactly,
your confidence, and all. Because that's the thing, a lot of times.
He's a mentally tough guy,
that's
too.
That's true.
People
yeah.
don't realize
and
how.
And that's the blend, right?
That's the catch.
Right.
Well, you know, like talking about in AI, probably we'll get to this, like measuring your heart. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't have the measurables. I'll look at like Sam Mills, part of the Dawn Patrol. Sam
Legendary.
Mills, I mean, if you look at now, he was strong in the legs, but if you seen him walking on the street, you're not saying that's an NFL player. No, he just he looks like a little dude that's kind of stocky. Exactly. You know, but point of attack and running sideline to sideline. I mean, he had the heart and then upstanding citizen, not only as a leader on the field, leading by example, but off the field. I mean, there's so many things that come into play. And, boy, you know I was talking to last night, like C.D. Deuce, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
Man, you try to interview that cat, he's always thinking you're trying to get to him.
Right, you're trying to make a splash on social media or something.
You remember the one time?
Well, that ain't your first time
when I was interviewing him in our training camp, and it was like, I'm trying to compare
Aaron Glenn
compared to who was coaching him now. And he's looking at him, man, why are you trying to set me up? I'm not trying to set you up. I just want to know some
guy.
I'm interested, though, Bobby, because you say that, but he immediately got picked up by Dan Campbell, who was the associate head coach here for years and years. And then the Eagles and Howie Roseman, who seems to have it all together. He's been there for years, been in the Super Bowl for years. And Vic Fangio, who is, you know, one of the
– as Bobby's guy.
Yeah, one of the coaches. And he also goes and pick up CD.
Well, you know
so
why?
Because
he's a baller.
A baller.
Okay. You know what? Listen, not everyone on the football field is an upstanding citizen. you know, to me, I mean, I'm like just don't go to jail. You know, kind of thing. You have, like, you want everybody to be like a Sam Mills, but when you got a locker room and all the different personalities, well, what you do on Sunday? Now, don't get in trouble. Don't get arrested. But then I've been with Andre Rison, whatever, Bad Moon Rison. I've been with a lot of characters. But C.D. Deuce, Chauncey Gardner might take the cake. I mean, I'm telling you. You want to talk about it? I don't know. That's the right word, gangster.
Hey.
But thank God he's playing football because I think football helps him. Financially, he's been rewarded. I don't know where he would be. It would be because of football. But all
he
I know
has is stayed in trouble off the field.
Yes, stay out of trouble. But I'm saying not everybody's going to be. You want him to go and talk to the Kiwanis Club or something? You know that's not going to happen. Or go talk
the
to
Knights
the
Rotary. Of Columbus.
Yeah, the Knights of Columbus, the Rotary Club. No, that's not.
Well,
gonna
I'd like
happen.
To hear that speech.
You just don't. You got to be able to stay out of trouble.
Right.
You got to have dogs. You know, player to player. So man, you got to have some dogs. You know, not like getting all sheepish and all what's going to happen. All I know is you remember when Chauncey Gardner, Saints fans, who that nation would love this, he intercepts Tom Brady. He goes
right
up in
his face.
Tom Brady right up in his face.
And we got a shirt somebody made us with him right up against Brady.
Here's the analytic for you. Most iPads calls to be broken.
Oh.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson wins that.
He's volatile. That would not surprise me.
Sam, in this year's draft class, I told this to Bob. Out of my top 75, 24 are defensive linemen. And that is a big chunk of what you're going to see in the first three rounds.
Right.
The other area that's really thick, running backs. Mm-hmm. And it's a random year from that. It just so happened that the running game is back in vogue more in the NFL. But all the running backs, now you might have two. You'll have one for sure going round one in Ashton Jeanty. And maybe Hampton might sneak in there also. But it's going to be from round two to the end of round four where all those backs are going to start to peel because you're running back by committee today unless you're the Eagles.
Exactly. And you mentioned the running back class this year. One of my favorite guys probably isn't even going to go in the first 4 days. I've been watching him since the beginning of the season. He had a good senior boy, and that's LaQuint Allen from Syracuse. Man, he loves to block. And we talk about heart.
Go picking up the blitz.
Exactly.
I told Bob.
So that pops up in our analytics. He's excellent at pass blocking, but it takes the heart to do that, right?
You got to want to do it.
Oh, you got to.
Oh, man, I'm a running back. I just run the ball. No, you don't.
Or I catch it.
Block.
Well, he catches it, too.
Yeah,
he's really good.
Man, at the Senior Bowl, I look, and I try to be, a little conservative because when you're watching the Senior Bowl, it's really a show, right? The practices are a show designed for the coaches and the scouts and the media. And so you try to look at his whole year, but the man is great out of the backfield. He can catch. He showed that he can catch both at the Senior Bowl
and
during the year.
And he's nifty in traffic.
Yeah, and he fights through tackles, and that shows up in our metrics as well in terms of rush yards over expected. The average player would do this. LaQuint Allen would do that. And he shows up well in that metric. And so talking about how deep this running back class is, man, I don't even think he's on – the consensus big board. He's outside, probably going to be an undrafted guy. But we see guys like Tyler Allgeier do that, where Bijan is the highly drafted, highly paid guy because he was drafted so highly.
Tyler does the dirty work.
He does the dirty
work. So I have an AI question for you. I'm all intrigued because AI, 2025. Oh,
no, you know what? You want to invest in AI.
No, I've been invested. I'm ahead of that. I've been involved in that. So I'm
you got BI, Bobby Intelligence.
I'm all in AI. But the thing is, how do you, when you think about this, I might maybe lose my train of thought.
it's your fault. On AI.
It was a particular, how you evaluate a player. It's going to come back to me.
Okay. I'm having going a back senior to the moment. Defensive line class.
Okay. Oh, man.
That it is a stacked class, defensive lineman, not only on the edge, but also in the interior.
Right. And the way you know this is a deep defensive line class is because there's two schools where the whole defensive line is going to be highly drafted. The Michigan Wolverines, Kenneth Grant, Mason
Ole
Grant.
Miss.
And Ole Miss, J.J. Pegues, Walter Nolan, Princely Yu, and Ivy out there. All four of them were at All-Star Games. And so we were interviewing J.J. Pegues, for example, real humble guy. Yeah. But, man, he plays fullback and tight end, too, you know.
He came to one of our camps, and so I go up to him. He's in high school. He's like 285 pounds.
Oh, he's a big boy.
So I told him, I said, what are you playing in high school, offensive line? He said, no, sir. He said, I'm a halfback. Halfback? He said, no, I'm playing halfback, fullback, and tight end.
Right.
And so at Auburn, he starts off. Uh-huh. He's a tight end.
So what classification you'd put, because that's intriguing, like how would Taysom Hill, how would you evaluate all what he could do? Is that Penn State guy I'm looking at like, oh, because with Taysom
Hill.
Tyler
Warren is something special.
What Taysom Hill accomplished in the NFL, that has to help him.
Right. And so there are guys like that can make impacts in other places. And what better person to talk about than Travis Hunter in that? I mean, what is he going to play, wide receiver, cornerback?
I'll play him at corner.
So I mean, I don't even have a good answer for you because.
But I think I would have a package set up where he could
certainly
play
man.
Wide receiver, but he starts at corner for me.
And I wrote a piece early on in the season. It's called Hot Sauce Hot Takes, and I wrote it every week, and I broke down. I put a hot sauce on every single thing, and one of them was that, man, I wish he would be a perfect fit for the Cincinnati Bengals because they badly need cornerback help.
Do they?
And T. Higgins will be a free agent this year. And so they could play him in that package situation, and Ja'Marr Chase will be their go-to guy, assuming they extend him, will continue to be Joe Burrow's go-to guy. But if I'm Travis Hunter, I'm looking for a situation that I can fit in like that because in our AI metrics for the college ranks, he was incredible both as a wide receiver and a cornerback. And same thing, scouting view, looking at the heart, looking at how he does it. He's an excellent player as well.
Real quick, Will Campbell. Yep. Because when I look at him, you don't realize how big he is until you stand up next to him. He was like, whoa, that's a big guy. Mm-hmm. He's got an unusual stance at that tackle position.
Exactly what I think as well.
Not many people beat him, and if you beat him, you're beating him inside.
Right.
You give him an outside movement, and you cut a hard inside. Your thoughts on Will Campbell?
Same deal. He's elite in the AI metrics. As a player, I would have been noticing his stance, and I would have tried to attack him low. I think guys within may be able to get around him.
Yeah.
Sanders. So you view him more as you go work out a tackle, or they get to move him on the inside? Will Campbell, will he stay at
I think
outside?
He'll be a left tackle.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would play him there until he proves to me he can't.
Right. Exactly.
Then I kick him to left guard.
Exactly.
So for all the great analytics stuff, folks will go check out Sumersports.com, right?
Sumersports.com. Go sign up for Sumer Brain, our artificial intelligence.
Okay.
You can ask it questions. It's coming out soon. Go sign up on Sumersports.com.
So you say like time, brains, Sam. Like y'all the modern version of my Wunderlic test. Remember, I remember taking that Wunderlic test. Remember, I think Eli Manning almost like it was an Ivy League and made a perfect score.
Hey, look, I don't be doing good on any Wunderlic test. I just read the stats they tell me to read, man. That's all I do.
That's great.
Heading to break here on Sports Talk. We are live at the Morio Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa. You just heard that interview on the Treasure Chest Power Seat with former linebacker of the Tulane Green Wave, Sam Bruckhaus. Also, check out sumersports.com for all great analytics stuff. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby, Mike, and Steve hanging out with you live at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row in the Memorial Convention Center, where we're celebrating Get Big Game Week in New Orleans, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. That opening segment, Cajun Cannon, I didn't get to pick your brain. What was it like, the interaction you had with Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore yesterday?
Well, it was so loud, and you know, when you think about Kellen Moore, he's the coach. Whether we want to admit this or not, he's going to be the coach of the New Orleans Saints. Now, does he want, you know, does he want Derek Carr to be the quarterback? I don't know. I mean, he probably would say, yeah, I think Derek Carr is a good quarterback. What does that mean? You can say somebody's a good quarterback and maybe not your quarterback.
Why would I tell you anyway?
Huh? Yeah. But look, if I look at the quarterback situation, I still think that's, you know, up in the air. And he's played the position. It's not like a coach trying to evaluate a quarterback.
You know, when he was a senior in college.
At Boise State.
Kellen Moore, he played a sophomore in Derek Carr.
At Fresno State.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Boise State versus Fresno State. Now, the former Boise State quarterback, he played 6 years in the NFL. You got to make a team, so he must have did something good in a preseason game. I don't, because he never started.
Right.
He was a great mind. So when I look at what he was able to accomplish and how he's ascended as a coach.
Right, I was impressed by 1 year as a quarterback's coach, and then, bam, he became an offensive coordinator.
They're not, because you're in those meetings, and the coaches know you can't fake the funk. You have to know what you're doing. They're not just, oh, he's a good person, let me promote him. But all I know is Nick Sirianni, the coach of the Eagles, said, look, I think Kellen Moore, now he says, I'm hoping we can keep him. The process has to play out. But he says, look, Kellen Moore's a great leader. A great communicator, because a lot of it is communication, how you could translate to the players and get them to perform on the field. And he said he's a tireless worker. That means, I don't know, is Kellen Moore married? I don't even know if he's married. If he's married, you better have a special wife or a girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
Because if you're a tireless worker, it's not regular hours. That means you might be home at 1 a.m. and you got to be back at the office at 7 a.m. So, and he said just a great person. So that would be more, I guess, off the field, but, he's got a lot of great qualities about him. And Coach Sirianni said nothing about fantastic offensive coordinator. And now this guy has a few skins on the wall. And I think we all think that he's one of the best linemen in the NFL, Lane Johnson. And Lane Johnson, the offensive tackle, says, look, he's a great football mind. Now, I don't know about this. Now, if he's like this in a Saints uniform, then we hit the lottery. He said he's a great football mind. I think he's a football genius. Well, I don't know if we're casually throwing that name out there. I mean, that word genius?
Sure.
Genius. I don't know. Sean Payton was a genius for us. So maybe Kellen Moore can be a genius for us. But he said, I think he's a football genius, and his best days are ahead of him. So that means that's with the Saints.
And
I don't know about the Super Bowl. We just need to be relevant, win the NFC South, go to the postseason. Get double-digit wins. But Lane Johnson, he knows football, and I don't think he's just saying that to be saying that about Coach Kellen Moore.
The Eagles offensive lineman, yeah, Tim Maliata, called him a magician.
Yes.
Oh, magician, genius. I like all those words.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Now, here's the
thing. I don't like overrated. No, nobody's saying that. I like that.
If Moore could take the offensive line with him to the Saints.
Sold.
Now, do they go after Stoutmire?
Right.
I would throw a lot of money at him. Man, listen, the Raiders threw $6 million at Chip Kelly to get him from Ohio State. I would try to do something like that with Stoutmire, who I think right now he's the best offensive line coach in pro football.
Well, yeah, now you look at look what the Eagles and the Chiefs offensive line, the coaches, what they've done. I mean, that Mike, that's a great point there, because, you know, you don't get a lot of glory, but that's where it's happening, all at the point of attack in the trenches.
We're here at the Morial Convention Center, Host Committee's Media Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Taking a break. Be back with more of Sports Talk right after this on WWL. Wrapping up the first hour of Sports Talk. You guys can't get enough of the Cajun Cannon. Mike Dettillier, want to let you know they're going to be busy this weekend. Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Join the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and NFL analyst Mike Dettillier at the Silver Slipper Casino for a big game Saturday second guest. We'll be coming back with more sports talk right after the top of the hour news. Coming up, Mark Schlereth, NFL Odyssey Insider, will join us, help us break down the big game. Coming back right after this, so stay tuned on WWL.